Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 112 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the secret guide to health when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai. You and I are entitled by law to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush said that what Americans wanted was jobs, jobs, jobs. But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognize that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. And that's because there's no money in public business and there's no money in jobs, jobs, jobs. Now that's why I contend that it's time that you and I cash in on our inheritance and learn how to collect that benefit or those benefits of that old covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's real property instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you want to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on our CD Home School for Adults, and then while you're at it, order our free General Law CD package. Doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine, send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about a book here called The Secret Guide to Health. I'm going to give you the guy's name and number over here. We've been talking about here for a couple of days. He's an old man, but he's got what I call common sense, street sense. You know, in the city we call it street sense. Out here in the country we call it common sense. And my old granny used to say, "Why, that fool hasn't got sense enough to carry guts to a barrel." I'm talking about some guy you know that did something that's kind of bonehead, conclusion, didn't have much information, made a bad decision. Well, this guy's name is Wayne Green, and he's at Box 360, Hancock, New Hampshire. And his zip code is 03449. That's 03449. And he wrote a book here, and it's called The Secret Guide to Health. And on the front page over here, front cover, it says it's simple, it's obvious, and it's plain common sense. Good health just comes from plain common sense. Now, I got to give you his phone number here. Let me put his phone number down here. 603, area code 603-588-0107. 603 is the zip code. You know, that's his area code. And 588-0107 is his phone number. Now, I don't know what this book costs. It's not a big book. It's 230 pages, something like that. If it costs you $20, it's well worth the $20. I said the other day that if it costs you $50, the information that's contained in the book is easy worth $50. It will save you many, many hours of time, effort, and energy, assuming that you wanted to know the answers to some of these questions. This guy has written a book. It's kind of in Reader's Digest format. In some cases, the article may be 3-4 pages. In others, it may just be a paragraph or two on one page, like instant surgery. Here's just one paragraph on one page. Let me read this to you. Have you read about London's famous Dr. Robert Liston? Well, yes, this was 150 years ago, before Lister. But Dr. Liston set an all-time record when he amputated a man's leg in 2.5 minutes. Now, the poor guy died later of gangrene. But he also managed to amputate 2 fingers from his assistant, who also died later of gangrene. Plus, he sliced through the coattails of a distinguished surgical spectator who was so frightened that he'd been cut open that he died from fright. And that's the only operation in history with a 300% mortality rate. He operated on one guy and killed 3. But he cut the guy's leg off in 2.5 minutes. Now, that's efficiency. Now, there's a cute little story, and it's just, you know, one paragraph. But right below it, there's a story about Coke. And then it's about 2 pages long. 2 pages here. Coca-Cola. And then it's got a little TM down here by Coke. Trademark. Coke. Yeah, it's a copyrighted trademark. And I thought that if God made anything better than Coke to drink, that he kept it for himself. You know, I was an old-timey Coke drinker. I think the first time I ever drank Coke was at the bar in Blue Lake, California, about 5 years old, maybe. Maybe I was 5. Wasn't in school yet. And my daddy went in the bar, and so, you know, in those days, you just take your kids in the bar with you. Set them up on the bar stool. Now, they're too young to drink, you know. So you buy them a Coke. And so while my dad is sitting there drinking his Coke high or beer or whatever he's drinking, the little kid's sitting at the bar, you know, he gets to drink too. That's how you learn to drink, you know, when you're a little kid. You know, you teach your kid how to drink by taking him in the bar, setting him up on a bar stool. And in those days, the Coca-Cola bottles, everything was in bottles when I was a kid. They used to have a cork inside the lid, you know, to seal it. They had this cork in there. And so you take your pocket knife out, and then you take the cork out. You'd pry it loose, you know, from the cap. And then you stick the cap on the outside of your shirt, and then you put the cork on the inside, and you could be wearing the Coke badge. I remember my dad made me a badge. Here I was, sitting at the bar, drinking with the boys, and had a badge on my shirt. Hey, you talk about being the cock of the walk, you know. No, that was me. Well, anyway, I learned how to drink Coke at an early age. Then Coke, you know, it's part and parcel with the bar scene. You know, you put a little Coke, or sometimes you put a little orange juice with the vodka. Or you put a little Coke, you know, with the whiskey. Or you got 7-Up, you know, with the whiskey and things like that. So they mix these soda pops, you know, with various alcoholic beverages over here. Now, they say, well, this makes a highball. They call those highballs. Well, now, you know, my dad gave me quite a little education in drinking and going into the bars and one thing and another. And so I ended up, you know, like most of you Christians out there, you'd say, well, my God, that guy must be an alcoholic. He went into a bar. No, most of the people that went into the bar, they didn't become alcoholics. I say most, and that's because they learned how to drink, you know. A drinking man, you know, knows what his limit is. I say a drinking man. Now, alcoholics don't. Alcoholics, they couldn't figure that out, you know, with both hands at high noon and roadmap. But drinking men, they know how much they can take. And so my dad said, no, I've had enough. You know, when my dad was drunk, you know, he'd say, well, I've had enough. Well, he was drunk enough. So, you know, today, you know, we have a different outlook on booze and drinking and one thing and another. I'm not quite sure how you got your view on booze and drinking. I got mine at an early age there at the bar in Blue Lake. So, let me tell you about this Coca-Cola thing, because this Wayne Green has an article in here on Coke that I'd never heard of before. I mean, I knew about Coca-Cola. I knew how good it tastes. We've got Coca-Cola right here in the attic. We use it for medicinal purposes. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Coca-Cola is one of the vital ingredients for dissolving kidney stones and gallstones. Did you know that? And after reading Mr. Green's article here, now I can understand why. I didn't know why Coca-Cola was good for dissolving gallstones and kidney stones, but now I do. Now I do, and you're going to find out now, too. Listen to this. Since my wife is addicted to Coke, the drink, not cocaine, not the Coke, the drink, I thought you might be interested to the following email someone dropped to me, just when you thought you knew everything. Number one, in many states, the highway patrol carries 2 gallons of Coke in the trunk to remove blood from the highway after a car accident. I didn't know that. So, if you're a highway patrolman and nobody ever told you that before, and you've got this blood all over the highway and you need to remove it, 2 gallons of Coke in the trunk. You pour Coke on it, dissolves it, and it flushes it right off the pavement. Well, now I see you're smarter today than you were yesterday. But number two, you can put a T-bone steak in a bowl of Coke and it will be gone in 2 days. I've never tested that before, but I'm going to. Take a T-bone steak and take a bowl, cover it with Coca-Cola, and they tell us that in 2 days the steak will be gone, just dissolved. Number three, to clean your toilet, you pour in 1 can of Coca-Cola, 12 ounces, into the toilet bowl. Then let the real thing sit for 1 hour, and then flush clean. Now, you know, who would have ever thought of such a thing? You can clean blood off the highway. You can dissolve a steak in a bowl of Coke, or you can clean your toilet bowl. And you've been going out here buying this expensive toilet bowl cleaner, ladies, and you had it right there in the refrigerator all along. Number four, the citric acid in Coke removes stains from vitreous china. Number five, to remove rust spots from chrome car bumpers, rub the bumper with a crumpled up piece of Reynolds Wrap aluminum foil dipped in Coca-Cola. How do you like that? Reynolds Wrap aluminum foil dipped in Coca-Cola will clean the rust spots off of your chrome bumper. Number six, to clean corrosion from car battery terminals, pour a can of Coca-Cola over the terminals to bubble away the corrosion. I've been using that expensive baking soda stuff, you know. I didn't know. Now you found out. If you don't have baking soda, well, then shucks, just use a can of Coke. Number seven, to loosen a rusted bolt, applying a cloth soaked in Coca-Cola to the rusted bolt for several minutes. I've been buying that expensive, you know, that expensive grease dissolver, rust dissolver, you know, at the auto parts store. Shucks, I didn't know Coca-Cola would do it. Now look, number eight, to make a moist ham, empty a can of Coca-Cola into the baking pan. Wrap the ham in aluminum foil and bake. 30 minutes before the ham is finished, remove the foil, allowing the drippings to mix with the Coke for a sumptuous brown gravy. Coca-Cola brown pork gravy. Hey, they should put those kinds of recipes on the Coke cans, shouldn't they? Number nine, to remove grease from clothes, empty a can of Coke into a load of greasy clothes. Then add detergent, and then run through a regular cycle. The Coca-Cola will loosen the grease stains. It'll also clean haze from your windshield. So if you've got road grime on your windshield, spray it with Coca-Cola. And then turn on your windshield wipers. And then give it a couple of shots, you know, from your windshield washer. And presto magico, clean windshield. Number 10. The active ingredient in Coke is called phosphoric acid. Its pH is 2.8. It will dissolve a nail in about 4 days. Boy, that's worth knowing. And that's why it'll dissolve rust from a rusty bolt. It will dissolve a nail in 4 days. I haven't tested any of these. You know, if you were a terrorist and you wanted to really cause infrastructure damage, forget about explosives. You've got it right here at hand. It's called Coca-Cola, for crying out loud. Trademarked, licensed, bonded, and insured. Number 11, to carry Coca-Cola syrup, the concentrate, the commercial truck must use the hazardous materials placards reserved for highly corrosive materials when hauling this on the nation's highways. Number 12, the distributors of Coke have been using it to clean the engines of their trucks for 20 years. Drink up, no joke, think what Coke and other soft drinks do to your teeth on a daily basis. A tooth will dissolve in a cup of Coke in 24 to 48 hours. I mean, you can take a tooth, put it in a cup of Coke, and in 24 to 48 hours it will dissolve it. Yes, indeed, things go better with Coke. Thanks, Art Householder, for emailing this. Hey, I bet you didn't know that, did you? Hell, I didn't know. That's why I'd rather read books by Wayne Greene than I would to watch Oprah, Howard Stern, and Judge Judy. I'll learn more. Now, you know, you can watch Oprah. Very entertaining lady. My God, that lady just keeps me on the edge of my seat and entertained. But I never did watch one of those Oprah programs and learn anything. I never did learn anything from Oprah. Entertained. Johnny Carson was great. God, I love Johnny. Jay Leno's good. I liked Leno. And David Letterman, he's wonderful also. I like them all. They're very entertaining. And Saturday Night Live, top of my list, you know. I mean, it's so dirty that I wouldn't let my kids watch it, and it even makes me blush, and I'm a truck driver, for crying out loud. And, yeah, it's so dirty it makes me blush, I got to tell you. Now, they're very entertaining, but there's nothing educational about them. I just taught you more about 12 uses of Coca-Cola than you knew and that you'd ever heard of in your lifetime. Now, that doesn't count any aluminum you get from the cans. With that stuff able to dissolve almost anything, I'd like to see some proof that we're not getting a good hefty slug of aluminum when we drink a can of Coca-Cola. Now, that also doesn't count the effects of the 12 teaspoons of sugar that you get with each can that's going into your body. As Dr. Page discovered 50 years ago, that all it takes is one teaspoon of sugar a day to disrupt your body's calcium-phosphorus balance, leading to arthritis. Then there's Diet Coke. I've updated my aspartame NutraSweet book to 16 pages on the damage that this so-called diet drink that's making people fat and killing them to boot. Heck, even 60 years ago, my mother knew not to drink that stuff. I never even tasted Coke until I was in high school. When I was forced to drink some as part of a fraternity initiation torture, first I had to chew some lye soap. Then I ate away the lye soap, ate away the lining of my mouth. Then I had to drink Coke, which was real torture. It was a long, long time before I tried Coke again. Well, you haven't tried this Coke in a bottle of whiskey. The Coke goes really good, you know, with whiskey. And those are called Coke highballs. It wasn't until our boat, the Drum SS-228, was being refitted in San Francisco that I was going on liberty with my shipmates to the Shamrock Bar that I started drinking Coke highs. Coke with whiskey. Never liked Coke much, though. Okay, well, here's Wayne Green. So he finally figured out what Coke is for. It's for drinking with whiskey. Well, I could have told him that if he'd have called me. All right, so there's the story on Coca-Cola. Now it's on page 119, isn't it? No, page 149. Page 149. So there you are, boys and girls, the story on Coca-Cola. Now, how about flu shots? You know, every year at the wintertime, you know, they tell you, go down and get your flu shot. I'm an old man. They tell me I got to go down and get my flu shot, because if I don't, I'm going to die from the flu. Well, so far I've made it through about 68 or 69 flu seasons without a flu shot. Yeah. So I've had some I've had some shots. I haven't been shot up with vaccine. My old granny, she had a conclusion. She said that if a God had intended for people to be vaccinated, that he would have designed us with a needle sticking out of our arm so they could just hook the syringe up to it and shoot you up. That's the way those old people thought, you know, back in the olden days, you know, those Stone Age people. That was my granny. She was born in 1882. And I was raised like that. And evidently this guy Green was raised like that too. Because, see, these old-timers, you know, they had what we called common sense. My old granny used to have a saying. She said, that guy ain't got a pot to piss in, a place to put it, or a window to throw it out of. Only they called them winders. He ain't got a winder to throw it out of. Now, that was a piece of old-timey common sense. Just old-timey logic. And I liked another one she used to say. Hey, you made your bed, sweetheart, now go sleep in it. She had another one. It was called, hey, she married well. She married well. Yeah, these old-timers, they had these old-timey sayings over there, and they really make a lot of sense. You stop and think about them. See? It's what we call wisdom. There's a book out here on wisdom. It's called the Book of Proverbs. I really like the Book of Proverbs. We find it in the Bible. Kind of a long book. It's written by a guy named Solomon. Actually, truth be known, it was written by God himself, but he used Solomon to write it. Solomon was his secretary and stenographer, and so he quoted a bunch of these wise old sayings, like go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn of her ways, things like that. There's all these wise old sayings over here. And then there's another one in here that says, go or rise up before the hoary head. Now, I don't know about this guy Green. He might be so healthy, he ain't got any gray hair. But when you see somebody with gray hair, that's a sign of aging. And older people know a lot, but they don't tell you young kids jack diddly squat. I know, because I was a young punk, pimply faced punk, my dad used to call it. You and your pimply faced punks. that's what my dad thought of my friends. Well, anyway, my dad, you know, he got old, you know. And then he told me one time, he said, now son, next time you get one of these harebrained schemes, you run it by me first, and I'll tell you how it came out when I tried it. And that's because, see, all you young people out there, you know, with your skateboards and your Maseratis and Porsches and one thing, and I said, you don't think that us old guys know how to drive. Now, my old daddy, you know, he learned how to drive a Model T. In fact, he had a Model T in 1943 when I was a little kid. I remember he had a Model T Ford. Now, you young people today, I bet you if we sat you into a Model T Ford, you'd just sit there and die of old age. I don't think you could make that thing run. I don't think you people could start one. Yeah. I mean, you pimply-faced punks out there think you're so damn smart. I'll just bet you couldn't even start a Model T Ford, let alone drive one. See, they didn't have a gear shift. They didn't have an automatic transmission. I mean, they had three pedals on the floor. Well, truth be known, that was an automatic transmission, but those three pedals on the floor is the way it shifted. You'd look at an old Model T and you'd say, what in the world is this? I know, I was a kid one time. I looked inside one of them old Model Ts and I said, hey, Dad, what's that all about? What's these two things here on the steering column over here? The spark retarder? Huh? What's that all about, Dad? Well, I keep that spark retarder was very important. It kept you from breaking your arm when you started it. Oh, yeah, it didn't have a key. It didn't have a starter. It didn't have an electric. It didn't have a battery. It didn't need one. It had a magneto. So that's why I point out, you know, that the old-timers, you know, they may be old, but they're not near as dumb as you give them credit for. So you go to these old-timers, and you ask them some questions, and they'll tell you some answers. And then this old guy here is 81. His name is Green. And he'll give you some answers. Now there's a story here that deals with Alzheimer's, and there's a story here that deals with I was trying to find it. Flu shots, number 12, flu shots on page 188. So I thought I'd flip over here to page 188 because I haven't had any of those. I've avoided those like AIDS, herpes, and VD, and they keep telling me that I'm supposed to have my flu shots. Flu shots, page 188. So I knew that there was a reason why I've been avoiding him. Here it is, right here. Just one paragraph. Listen to this. Just a reminder, please don't let anyone that you care about get any flu shots. According to Dr. Hugh Feudenberg, MD, the world's leading immunologist, he's the 13th most quoted biologist of our time, with nearly 850 papers published in peer-reviewed journals. If someone has had five consecutive flu shots, their chances of getting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher than if they had no shots at all. And he says this is due to the mercury buildup in the brain from the thimerosal used in the shots. This causes cognitive dysfunction. Cognitive dysfunction. Boy, that's a mouthful. I don't know what it means, but it means something like suffering from the terminal stupids. Now, the public has been induced to believe that the treatment of symptoms is medical therapy. The truth is that the medical establishment wants sick people since there's no money to be made from healthy people. Yeah, I mentioned that to you the other day. Doctors make their money off of sick people. You know, if everybody was as healthy as this guy Green and George Gordon, the medical establishment would collapse. I mean, it would just collapse. You know, as old as we are, and I'm just a punk, pimply-faced kid compared to this Green guy, but just wanted to point out that I don't go to medical doctors. I try to stay away from them because they kill so many people. Oh, I'm sure that they don't do it on purpose. You know, they're probably nice, conscientious fellows. You know, they're just doing their job, but you know, when you're prescribing drugs and you kill 130,000 people a year, you know, that strikes me as being kind of incompetent. Careless, incompetent, I mean, hang a label on it and tell me what you think. Now, these same doctors, you know, want to shoot you up with flu vaccine. Now, either these guys don't know about thimerosal in the vaccine, or if they know about it, they really don't care. Now, you know, they give your child, now you mothers out there, you paying attention now? All right, listen up. You're going to give your kid 35 vaccines between 2 months and 5 years. 35 vaccines. Most of those vaccines still have thimerosal in them, although they're going to advertise hot and heavy. Oh, we've taken the thimerosal out of this vaccine and out of that vaccine and another vaccine. You're going to give them 35 shots. And only 25 of those shots are going to have thimerosal in them. All right? Now listen to this. Pay attention now. If you get five flu shots, your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease grow by 10 times. If you give your kid 25, that's 5 times more, 25 shots with thimerosal in them, do you think maybe you could increase your child's chances of getting Alzheimer's disease? Well, you know. Now, there's a couple of other brain deformity diseases around here, you know, that you might be concerned about. And there's quite a bit of talk going around, you know, concerning thimerosal in vaccines that causes cognitive dysfunction. Maybe something like your kid's jumping up in school and running around. Did it ever occur to you that maybe you crapped him up, you know, by giving him all those vaccines? I just thought I'd throw that out there for you, you know, just mull it over a little bit. Flu shots. Cognitive dysfunction. ADD. All right. Enough said. Just one paragraph over there. Talking about these flu shots. That was number 12. Let me pause right here and give you your mid-course reminder over here so we can satisfy the FCC and all the various and sundry communications organizations around the world. And remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard in 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio worldwide. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, You can get that information by going to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian, non-commercial law school. And it is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement. That means you got to call us before you knock on the door. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the webpage at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Now, there's another neat little paragraph or a little story over here called Zoloft. Now, you've heard me report on time or two, you know. What I do is I go to the Reader's Digest. I go to the Reader's Digest, and I just turn the pages until I see some real fine print. That's a drug ad. Then I go get my 10-power loop and my glasses, you know, I put them on, and I sit there and I read it, and I get over here to side effects, and I read the side effects. And I wonder and I marvel at that, because I look at those side effects and I say, geez, the side effects are worse than the disease that these people are trying to cure. I mean, you've got symptoms, maybe arthritis symptoms, you know. And so you got to have this arthritis medicine. Well, you've been told you do. So you go buy this arthritis medicine, and you take it, and it causes side effects that are worse than the arthritis. Sometimes they even killed you. In fact, they even warn you in there. You know, in rare cases, death may occur. In rare cases, death may occur. So when I look at that, I say, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you know, are you jesting? Are you jousting here with me? Surely you jest. You're going to take something over here that could cause you to die, could cause blindness, could cause sterility, you know, could cause a heart attack, stroke. You know, if you're pregnant, don't use this. Don't even touch it. I mean, they got some drugs out there that tell you pregnant women, don't even touch the stuff. You mean, wait a minute, you mean your old man says, hey, go get me my Zoloft over here, and you go take a Zoloft out of the package and you hand it to him, it could cause birth defects? Yeah. I don't know if Zoloft does it, but they've got drugs out there. I mean, there's so damn many drugs out there, I can't keep them all straight. Hell, I can't even pronounce them. I don't keep them straight, but I like to read that. And now, you normal people out there, I mean, you can't read that fine print. I don't wear glasses, and I can't read it. Of course, I guess I'm an old man. I might have been able to read it when I was 10, 12 years old, but I know I don't need glasses to read ordinary print, and I can read some pretty fine stuff, you know, but boy, by the time I get to the Reader's Digest, you know, things you need to know, I can't read those. So I went down to the coin store, and I bought special glasses, a 10-power loop. I can read that stuff now. And I'm telling you that if you buy these drugs that are being advertised in Reader's Digest, and you have not read those warnings, you know, that fine print over there, you're suffering from the terminal stupids. I call that terminal stupids. Now, your common sense ought to tell you that if it's in fine print, they don't want you to read it. And that means that there's something in there they don't want you to know. And, you know, for people that ate off of God's tree in the Garden of Eden because we wanted to know, because we figured God was hiding something from us, for some reason today, people want to remain stupid. They don't want to know what the hell that the problems are. We call that denial. All right. So let me see if I can find it. Wait until you see Zoloft, page 186. Here, let me get Zoloft, 186. Here we go. This is the stuff like Ritalin, Prozac, etc., that school authorities are forcing parents to give their children. So I enjoyed reading an ad where the side effects are in about two-point type. The common ones are diarrhea, feeling tired, sleepy, having trouble sleeping, tremor, upset stomach, increased sweating, indigestion, and feeling agitated. For men and women, there are sexual problems. Hey, that's a lot better than cutting the kid's sugar intake and feeding them real live food any day. Cornflakes, fiber, oranges, and bananas. So I just thought I'd point that out. Now, that's pretty short. That's just one paragraph. And I was surprised that there was one other person in America that actually read the fine print. Now, he calls that two-point type. I don't know what the hell size type that is. I'm just telling you, it's so damn fine, I can't read it. Well, you know, without magnification. So, evidently, he went out and bought reading glasses. He must have got a 10-power loop. I mean, got himself some coin store glasses over here. That mine go right over my head. And just like, you know, a doctor, you know, he runs around with that thingy wrapped around his head, you know, clamped on his head. So he can look down your throat. That light, you know, kind of like a miner's light. Well, I got one of those, and it's got these magnification lenses on it. And then I can sit here and read. It's what I call my contract reading glasses, so I can read contracts. Well, that's exactly what you got there with that advertisement. Now, he points out here that children are being given this stuff in school. Did you know why they give this Zoloft and Ritalin to children in school? Do you know why that's so important for the school principal and the teachers to convince you parents out there to give your kids these drugs? Okay, here's the answer to that riddle. Your school principal and your school teachers over there get paid from your tax dollars. Those are parasites that eat off of the government trough. Public school teachers. They don't make any real contributions to society. They don't produce any food, clothing, or shelter. In other words, if everybody in America was a school teacher, we would all starve to death. We would all be walking. There wouldn't be any mechanics. There wouldn't be any farmers. We'd all be school teachers. So right away, that told me something. I said to myself, I wonder if there's any other professions like that, that we could live without. See, boys and girls, you cannot live without farmers. I mean, that's just where reality's at. I don't care how educated you are, how erudite, I don't care, you know, how many letters you got after your name there, kid. Without farmers, you die. You have to have farmers. Especially if you got letters after your name. I mean, you're totally helpless, sucker. You can't make a living. You can only eat off of the tax base. You can only feed at the government trough. And without the government trough, you're lost. You've got to have it. Parasites have to have a host. School teachers are parasites. You need it. All right, now with that in mind, the purpose behind having your child on drugs is because it pays more money. Yeah, it pays more money. Here's the way that works. Your kid, on average, consumes $54 a day. the state and federal governments, along with your local tax base. There's three people paying for your kids' education. Three. This is the free education for all children in public schools. I want you to remember, that's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Well, in order to have free education for all children in public schools, you've got to have teachers in those public schools. And those teachers want to get paid, and they get paid very well. In fact, here in America, we have the highest cost, highest paid teachers in the world. Yeah. Now, I know you teachers, you're sitting there saying, well, I ain't filtering down to me. Well, that's because one-third of all of the costs of education goes to administration. Excuse me, I got that backward. Two-thirds of all costs go to administration. One-third actually goes to the teaching. Two-thirds goes to the bureaucracy. One-third goes to the actual physical teaching. So that's why you teachers out there ain't getting paid as much as you think you're worth. That's assuming that you are worth as much as you think you ought to be paid. But leaving that issue aside, there's more money to be made. And here's the way that works. $54 a day is what's being allocated for your kid. That's on average nationwide. Some kids get more than that, some kids get less, but 54 is the average. You can double that to $108 a day by putting them on Ritalin. Double. So the reason that they want every kid in school on Ritalin is because it'll double their budget. They get double the money. Hell, you don't. The federal government is paying you to drug your children. Now, the reason your children need drugs is because of the fluoride and the chlorine and the water, the sugar that you're feeding them. You know, the lack of the DHA that you didn't give them when you were pregnant with them. You know, I mean, and this book here that I'm reading from over here tells you in a synopsis, you know, kind of easy to read format, kind of fun and funny, too. Yeah, this guy's got a good sense of humor. Well, you know, for an old fart like me, it sounds like it's pretty good. Ain't as good as Saturday Night Live, but it's pretty good. Let me give you his name and number again. It's Wayne Green. Wayne Green. And he's the one that's given us all this crazy information. You know, like Coca-Cola is used by the Coca-Cola company to clean the engines of their trucks. Those people aren't dumb. Why buy engine cleaner when we got Coca-Cola? All right, this guy's name is Wayne Green, and he lives at Box 360. I don't know if he lives inside the box or just where the box is located, but it's Box 360 in Hancock, New Hampshire. Hancock, New Hampshire. And his zip code is 03449. That's 03449. He's got a phone up there, too. The number I got here in the book, it's 603-588-0107. Now, see, the guy that gave me the book, he looked this guy up. This guy, Wayne Green, when all of you people call him, he is going to be just livid. How did you get my number? And you tell him, well, George Gordon gave it to me. And he's going to say, who the hell is this Gordon guy? And you tell him. I'm one of his ardent fans. That number again, 603-588-0107. I think if you were to call him, he'd probably tell you where you can get one of those distillers. Don't waste a lot of his time. This guy's busy. He intends to live to be 110. And that's at the low end. He has even higher aspirations than 110, but I wouldn't want to tell you what those are. Anyway, he wants to accomplish a lot of goals. He's already 80. He's only got 30 years left. He needs to get after it. And he's working hard. Didn't retire. I don't know if he's on Social Security or not. I'm not on Social Security yet. And I'm pushing 70. I ain't on it yet. I'm going to avoid Social Security like I avoid AIDS, herpes, and VD. I'm going to avoid national health care insurance if it's at all possible. But God knows what these politicians are going to do to us. I mean, I'm out here running 90 miles an hour trying to avoid Social Security payments. I mean, hell, you know, by the time we get through with this next election, I may find myself in a concentration camp because I refuse to take Social Security. They might tell me that they're not going to let me out of this prison until I agree to sign up for Social Security. I mean, hell, they threw Jeremiah into a slime pit. They threw him into the dungeon. All he was doing was just running around telling them what God told him to tell. I mean, he was just running around like a reporter, you know. So that I'd pass that one on to you. Hey, how about living death? Now, would you like to participate in the Living Death program? It's called the Nursing Home. It's on page 180. I thought this was a good article in here on page 180. Living Death. Two paragraphs. Listen to this. Let's take a peek into the crystal ball and see what's in it in your future. Yeah, modern medicine is keeping our bodies alive longer. Both my mother and dad lived to be 87. But my mother spent the last years of her life in a nursing home, tied to a chair, so she wouldn't wander off. She was an Alzheimer's veggie, and the only person in the world that she could recognize during her last years was me. My dad spent his last years with emphysema and an oxygen bottle, or an oxygen generator, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the rest of his life. He could only walk a few steps before having to sit down and rest. Now, do you call that living? Now, most of our senior citizens are living in nursing homes, assisted care facilities, or hospitals, or they're having bypass operations and kidney dialysis and transplants of hearts, kidneys, and other organs that they have destroyed. They will, in all probability, destroy the transplanted organs the same way they destroyed the original tissue. Now, the rest of the seniors, virtually without exception, are on medications, an average of 7. Now, I've been reporting to you the average is 6. Now, Mr. Green reports that it's an average of 7. Evidently, he's read some new material. I don't know. I want to report to you that George Gordon doesn't take any medications. I don't even take aspirin. That isn't to say that I might not someday. You know, I'm not here to tell you people that you shouldn't take an aspirin. Hell, I don't know if aspirin is good for you or bad for you, or Zoloft. Hell, maybe Zoloft and Ritalin are good for your children. I don't know. I came to the conclusion that it wasn't good for my children, and I avoided it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. But I'm not in any position to run around dictating to you or suggesting to you that you shouldn't give your kid Ritalin. Hell, you're an adult. You're a parent. You must know whether Ritalin is good for your child or not. You probably got it from Oprah or Howard Stern or Judge Judy or, I don't know, Saturday Night Live maybe. But those are decisions that people have to make in life. And just like this Alzheimer's thing that he's pointing out here. Now, his parents lived to be 87 years old, but their last years were kind of tough years. Now, I remember my granny died. She had a stroke when she was 85. She lived 36 months, 3 years. And she finally died. It was really merciful. If I had a cow that was in the same physical condition as my grandmother, I would shoot the cow to put the cow out of its misery. I would not allow an animal to suffer like my grandmother suffered in the nursing home her last 3 years. I wouldn't do that to a dog. I stood by and watched it being done to my grandmother, just like this Mr. Green watched it being done to his mother and his father. But you know, I felt bad about it at the time, but I got to thinking about that. See, my granny's going to come up in a resurrection. There's 3 of these resurrections, you know. She's going to come up in all probability in that second resurrection. And I'm sure that God or an angel or somebody, whoever's sitting in the judgment, you know, is going to say, "Hey, granny, did you learn anything from that smoking? My grandmother smoked a pack of Camel Studs every day of her life from 18 to 85. She would have been smoking a Camel Stud the day she died if she could have lit the match. The reason my grandmother quit smoking at age 85 was because she couldn't strike a match and light it anymore. She was paralyzed. She had a stroke. She couldn't function. What caused the stroke? Well, in all probability, the debilitating effects of a lot of combination of things, but I would say primarily from the nicotine from the cigarettes. Now, when you're 19 years old and you're smoking, you know, you don't need to be concerned about that. It isn't going to hurt you. It isn't going to harm you, you know, from 19 to 35, 40, 50, something like that. Now, she didn't die from cancer, you know, but she did die. And her last 3 years were god-awful tough. And that's what this guy Green is pointing out here. He said, you know, they're taking medications for high blood pressure. This is your average senior citizen. Senior citizens are taking medications for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, arthritis, asthma, and many, many other chronic ailments. How many 80-year-olds are out there skydiving, scuba diving, mountain climbing, skiing, on no medications, and in general enjoying life, living it up? Dozens? No? Well, I only know of one, me. Well, I guess that's a lot easier than changing to a healthy diet. Now, here's a guy, 81 years old. He's a skydiver, scuba diver. And he talks about that here in his book. Now, you know, I'm an old man, 70. I'm 70. And I'm an old-timey pilot. Now, you're not going to catch me jumping out of an airplane. I mean, that just ain't going to happen. I wouldn't jump out of an airplane when I was 20. When I went through flight school, we came to a conclusion. There's two solutions to a problem here. When the engine quits, you got two solutions. You jump out or write it down. And so I looked into that very carefully. All the angles concerning jumping out of the airplane and so on. And then there's the write it down theory. And I said, well, I think I'll just write it down. Now, when you get into some of these big airplanes, you know, like a 747, you ain't getting out of that thing, no way in hell. I mean, you could put all those passengers into harnesses and line them up and give them parachutes, but, you know, you got to open the door. Man, hell, those people can't get out when the airplane crashes on the ground, for crying out loud. So, I just thought I'd point that out. But this guy Green, no, you got to give credit where credit's due. He's 81 years old, jumping out on his 80th birthday. He wanted to celebrate, so he went down to the local airport and jumped out of an airplane. With a parachute, of course. And landed, survived it quite nicely, and he's out here advocating skydiving, for crying out loud. 80 years old, and he's not on medication. Hey, and I'm more power to him. I think this guy's got something going for him over here. And that's why I'm recommending his book. Well, to those of you that have got time to read it. Most of you live busy lives and busy schedules and you don't have time. But you'll have lots of time in the nursing home. When you get to the nursing home, you'll have plenty of time. You probably won't be able to turn the pages, and you probably won't be able to recognize the words on the page, read it, or understand what it's telling you by the time you have Alzheimer's. So, if you're going to prevent Alzheimer's disease, and he's got a number of stories in here on Alzheimer's, you know, what causes Alzheimer's disease, and, you know, one thing and another, and dental amalgam and sperm banks refuse 85% of donations. Did you know that? Did you know that sperm banks refuse 85% of the donations that are made to them? That's on page 223. I didn't know that. So let me. It's called 223 here. Here it is. Shooting blanks. Our kids, by drinking and smoking early, plus inputting a bunch of other poisons such as fluoride, chlorine, preservatives in our food to prevent spoilage, pesticides on our crops, and so on, have been dropping the sperm count to where 85% of the donations are no longer good enough for sperm banks. And this has to be reflected in an increase in defective babies, since these poisons can also alter the DNA. No wonder people from the future are coming back in time machines to rebuild the messed up DNA that we've willed them. Put a bracket around that one. That's quite a story. Now see, when you're young, you see yourself as being strong, virile, not chasing the girls. Want to knock off a little on Friday night. And the truth of the matter is that most of you young men out there are impotent. Well, 85% of you are. Did you get that? I mean, yeah, you know, walking around with this Humphrey Bogart cigarette dangling out of your lips, you know, as you're binge drinking, you know, at the frat and so on. You're debilitating your sperm count to such a degree that you couldn't even go down to a sperm bank and donate semen. Isn't that just real special? Then on top of that, 5% now here in the United States, can't speak for everybody in the world, but 5% here in the United States are producing deformed babies. So, 5 babies out of every 100, 1 out of every 20, is now got some kind of a birth defect. Now in the Bible, in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, God said that there would be no birth defects. Zero. You practice my law, you'll get zero birth defects. Now this guy Green doesn't have any use for religion. I don't know if he's got any use for God or the Bible or not. But whether he knows it or not, he's practicing most, if not all, most of the health laws of the Bible, of which there's 19 health laws. Now, being, you know, from New England, he probably eats unclean food. I mean, a guy probably eats pig and lard and fat and lobster and crab and so on. And, you know, because of his other healthy lifestyles, those poisons that he puts in his body, maybe he can get away with. And shucks, maybe the guy doesn't even eat unclean food. See, I don't know that. He didn't mention that here in his book. I do. I point out that meat's good for you, and this guy's not a vegetarian either. He eats meat. He eats meat. I don't know where he gets his meat from, because if he's getting it off the feedlot, I mean, if he's eating Tyson chicken, he's eating, I don't know. But, you know, most of that stuff's not fit for man or beast. You know, I'd be ashamed to feed that crap to my dog. Now, we try to be very careful here about what we eat here at the law school. And I'm sure that this guy Green is very careful about what he eats also. Well, he says so. So, this living death called the nursing home over here talking about Alzheimer's. And this thing of being impotent, you know, 85%. 80, that's American men, 85%. You know, for practical purposes, that's all of us. I'll bet you as old as I am, my sperm count's better than yours is at age 25, partner. I'll just bet you. I'll bet you this old man at age 81's got a better sperm count than you got at age 42, 35, or 25. Mull that one over, punk. Think about it. Hey, listen, we're about out of time again. I'll have to remind you here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Remember, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 112 countries worldwide daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. And that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's about up, so we'll have to leave it right there. And we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.